Professor Howell's Criminal Law Maker Class, Room 24, 2008, Room 308.
President Obama is quite clever. President-elect Obama is a very clever man. Some people support him well, believe him. Not Muslim. But Obama knows he cannot rely on his support. You know what I'm saying?
Obviously.
So he sent a signal by Tony Annan, who was his chief of staff.
Yeah.
And the Al Qaeda was very angry.
Yes, they are. Hopefully, that's why. Don't you dare sit all the way back there. I can't see you at all. Come on up here. Don't be troublesome. Bye, you too. Close up. Tomorrow the double class, 1:40, right? Do we have to move in the middle though? Sorry. Should be 1:40, right? Because each class is 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
1:40 to 3, and then 3:10 to 4:30 as usual. Will you guys help me figure out who's not here? Sunny. Felicia. Trisha's here. John. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13, 16, 18, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25. Okay, now I just got 2 extra people. Yes?
Who
may I? No, the first defensive part. Okay, yeah, no. Next Monday is the last class and defenses, the second defense. I'm going to probably add a review class during your study period so that we can talk, but we'll do the second defense, okay?
2, 4, 6.
Monday is a Thursday. Okay. So, Sunny, Felicia, and John are not here, and is it people's information that they will not make it?
No, no, Felicia says
know anything about these things?
I forgot to print my notes. Can I just run down to it and do that real quick?
Yeah, you may miss a minute or two, but hurry up. Hmm? I have no idea if this is actually recording. The instructions simply say hit stop, so let's assume it's recording. Okay, so just to be absolutely clear, my apologies for last week. We were on trial Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We lost, but we will get. We will win on appeal, or better yet, a motion to set aside the verdict. This morning we won on a dismissal motion. So there's a silver lining. I would have rather won the trial, and in fact the judge put a very heavy, heavy hand on the scale in favor of the prosecution. I think if he'd given the jury instructions we requested, we would have won, but judges will be judges. And we will maybe someday have a decision that goes into your law books. With Hofstra Law Clinic advocating for a particular entrapment by estoppel, mistake of law defense that we actually kind of covered very quickly, a similar thing, where a public official gives you the permission to do something and you go ahead and do it in reliance on that public official's apparent authority, and then it turns out the thing he did was illegal. So we shall see. Today we will talk about conspiracy. We will have to move, unfortunately, at 12 because this room is needed for something else, which means 25 minutes from now we'll be moving to another room, which I believe is on the second floor in this building. Does anybody have a note of what the room was? I had to come straight from court, sorry, so I didn't have a chance to check it. All right, so we'll move to 243. We'll do the first day's reading in conspiracy today. We will do the second half of conspiracy on Monday, tomorrow, and then the first half of defense, which I'm sorry is quite a lot of reading for you guys. Hopefully you stayed a little bit ahead of the curve with no classes last week. If you did not, definitely start at your reading as early as possible tonight so that you can get through it all for tomorrow. So today we had to read just a handful of cases. And the first was Vareev, right? And it comes under the enigmatic heading, the nature of a conspiracy. Okay? And Vareev explores the relationship between conspiracy and other types of inchoate crimes, right? So the issue in Vareev is, Jessica?
The defendant was charged with conspiracy in the second degree and attempt to persuade, and the issue was whether a single act can be used to convict on two or more charges.
Okay. I'm writing that down as you said it. It's actually not quite the issue raised, but that's okay based on, oops, a single act. But it's an excellent question, and it's one that you can answer having read Vareev. Could you charge conspiracy and attempt based on a single act? No, no, I see Nia and Anthony? Why am I having trouble? It's just a change of venue. Saying, no, you can't. And Anthony, why is that?
Because that would be double jeopardy. You know, that is one act for one punishment.
Okay. Double jeopardy. And they do this whole discussion. This is a case where I wrote a Venn diagram, okay? And I had this being like the vertical box being, say, the conspiracy, and the horizontal box being the attempt. If one box was fully inside the other box, then you would be being punished twice for the same thing, right? And the lesser included would disappear, would merge, okay? Which is really getting to the nature of conspiracy. Okay, so if we wanted to revise this, and I'm going to give you another shot, Jessica, was it really a question of whether it was based on a single act, or do you want to kind of... What did he do? Let's go back to the facts for a second. Okay. That'll help.
He intimidated a witness by going to his house and threatening physical punching if he testified against this guy.
Okay, he intimidated a witness by going to a house? And did he threaten to punch him or did he punch him?
I think he might.
Yeah, I think he beat him up or punched him or something.
And then his wife got in the way and that was the end of that.
Uh-huh. And it's an attempt because clearly the guy went ahead and testified anyway. Like, he successfully beat him up, right? More or less, except the wife stepped in and beat him up. I would send kind of a bigger intimidator next time around, although we don't know how big the wife was. So, possibly she was really, really scary or well-armed or something. Okay.
So the issue, the way I framed the issue was, could the elements of both charges be proven without using the same act?
Okay. So, alright. So then they'll go back to, can the elements of both conspiracy and attempt be proven without
using the same act.
Uh-huh. And what's the court's answer to that?
That to convict on two or more charges, each must require proof of fact that the other does not.
Mm-hmm. And good. And where did they come out on this case? And let's they use the word overt. Okay, let's stick that in here. Just overt.
They held that the act requirement of conspiracy and attempt were substantially different enough to charge both without statutory infringement or constitutional infringement with double jeopardy. Because there were two overt acts that were charged.
Okay, well, what were the two overt acts?
Striking him with his fist and going to the address.
Okay. So, and which was the act that was good enough for the attempt?
Attempt was the fist striking.
Uh-huh. Okay, this is attempt. And going to his house?
Was the conspiracy.
Okay, that's the overt act for the conspiracy. Okay, and the reason why I do this, is because it helps us to think about the nature of a conspiracy. When you look at a fact pattern, just a fact pattern like we often give you in exams, you're going to be like, wait a minute, is this complicity? Is this a conspiracy? Is this an attempt? Like, it's not done. And you'll want to think about these things, okay? So here we have the defendant saying, wait a minute, you're charging me with two crimes for one act. Going out over there and beating him up, right? And the court says, no, those are two acts, going over there and beating him up, okay? And so my question is, like, it's important to distinguish because would just going to someone's house be enough for an attempt? Pat?
No.
Why not?
Well, you could go to someone's house and not attempt to do something.
Right. That's true.
When you go back to the attempt stuff, it's kind of mere preparation.
Yes. Do me a favor. Make a habit of using the damn language, whether you want to or not, because that's where you get the point. This is mere preparation, right? It's not, you know, physical proximity. It's not, you know, there's like six different ways of testing whether an attempt is an attempt yet. But the big question is it mere preparation or is it an attempt? Okay? And when we were going through me going over to whose house? Was it Kia's house? Yeah, to burn it down. You know, the part, everybody pretty much agreed that just heading over there probably was not enough. Maybe buying the gasoline and the lighter. Maybe those were the kind of acts that put me over the line from mere preparation because they were kind of unusual acts. But here, the going to the house would not be anywhere near enough all by itself for conspiracy. Because as Pat points out, you know, that's a totally innocent act, right? I could go over, I could be meaning to go over for any number of reasons. And moreover, just going to somebody's house is a totally innocent act, right? Could he be meaning to go over for any number of reasons? What makes this a conspiracy? I really hope this is recording. I'm going to go to Sarah. I don't know if it is.
They had an agreement.
Yes. So we want two things for a conspiracy, right? We want an agreement. To do an unlawful act. Plus an overt act. Okay? And it's really important. This is one of the things. What's the relationship? Vareev tells us the relationship between the act requirement for an attempt and the act requirement for conspiracy is what? You guys sit over there and be ignored. Yeah. What's the relationship between the act requirement for conspiracy and the act requirement for attempt?
Because the attempt for conspiracy is because the conspiracy doesn't require going through with it and attempt trying to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your act has to be... Felicia?
For the act in conspiracy, is it in furtherance of? And like the attempt is intended result?
I think you're getting into mens rea, and we're kind of looking at the act right now. Like what you intend or in furtherance of, those are really important concepts. But I'm just saying, like, the acts, and I think Jeff is close.
That would be a difference between the acts of conspiracy and
uh-huh. Which is my question that I'm asking people. Okay, so let's try and see Matt, right?
Yes.
Being in a different room is making me confused. Go ahead, Matt.
I think that the act of conspiracy is the agreement, and the act of attempt is something that is natural.
You need an agreement. I think if we look at the next case, it's not so clear. I mean, that's part of the actus reus, but that's not necessarily, that's not enough. You need an agreement plus. I'm seeing lots of hands. I'm going to go to, well, actually I've missed Clem so much that I'm going to go to Clem. Go ahead, Clem.
In a conspiracy, you need an agreement, but it's mere preparation. Mm-hmm. And in an attempt, it must be more than preparatory, means steps taken for the consummation of the
intent. Right. So let me just say it this way. Like, if I were to draw an act, like for a conspiracy, and an itty bitty little act, okay? Itty bitty little act. for an attempt, I need a really big axe, right? Or act that shows full, pretty much full commitment to go ahead with this crime, okay? So we need a big act, okay? So my relationship to this is the overt act for a conspiracy is really anything that shows that you did intend to take it forward. You know, so it could be a little act. It could be, you know, any number of the things that just aren't anywhere near an attempt, right? And a conspiracy is done once you've got that agreement and the act, okay? Whereas an attempt takes a big act, okay? Yeah.
To take the agreement further, right? Like, mm-hmm. not the actual action. And action, like, the act part, does the act correspond, I was confused by the case, mm-hmm. the act corresponds to the agreement, right? Like, taking the agreement further?
Yes. Like, so it doesn't have to be, if you and I agree that we are going to start a drug company, selling illegal drugs, but we want to do it like, you know, using, say, a phone service or a P.O. box, or, you know, I could just go check out, you know, how much does it cost to get a P.O. box here? That might be enough. Like, we need some overt act, but it's an itty-bitty little act, okay? Versus attempt, which is a big act, okay? So that's why going to the house, which is totally innocent, is our overt act for the one, and beating the guy up is the overt act for the attempt. Okay? So this is the punching the guy. Okay? And we also have this additional element. We have the itty-bitty act, the overt act. And we have the agreement, okay? So if this is a Venn diagram, there's not a perfect overlap, okay? You will almost always be able to cut up any act, like going and punching him, into multiple acts, right? I mean, fortunately, they charged it well, and if you're a prosecutor, you would want to kind of charge, this is the overt act for this one, and this is the overt act for that one. But I'm pretty sure, like, if somebody made a motion to dismiss or something, you could, kind of recharge it, saying, well, this will be the overt act for the conspiracy. If you are in a jurisdiction where they say that, you know, you need a separate overt act for each one of them. I saw Vehan. Wow, I'm, like, totally confused. Give me a second. Eric, go ahead. In any case, so the nature of this relationship, little act for conspiracy versus big act for an attempt, okay? The further thing is you don't need to get anywhere near finishing out your conspiracy. Why do we do that? Yes, Jessica, you get the advantage of getting to answer the question. Why do we do that? Why do we only require a little itty-bitty act? And then you can ask your question.
Why do you only require a small act for conspiracy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's with that?
Because I guess conspiracy is the policy underlying conspiracy is the momentum that people get from agreeing to commit crimes, and then that kind of furthers the possibility of the crime being committed and lessens their chance of getting out of it. So it's that agreement part that has the criminal force that people are trying to deter.
Beautifully stated. Thank you. Okay? These things should be in your notes some places, by the way. Yeah, fine.
I was just going to add that once you've taken up big steps towards completing the act, you actually are doing the crime, and there's another charge for that.
Right. However, this is something like our relationships, and I do wish I had if you do all the acts, Like, you and I could agree to sell drugs, Brian. We could sell drugs, and then we would be guilty of selling drugs. Would we also be guilty of a conspiracy to sell drugs?
We could, but I think we would only be charged with selling drugs.
Mm-hmm. Other opinions? Okay, so we could be charged with both. And depending on the jurisdiction, we could be convicted of and sentenced for both. And we could even be sentenced conspiracy to commit offense.
Even if, what if they only find us one time? They only like, stop us one time? One act.
Anybody have an answer from looking at that stuff, Ken?
I think if it's a federal statute, you can be charged and sentenced for both crimes. But in state, you may be sentenced for one crime.
Right, it totally depends on your jurisdiction. Like, some will say, no, that's double dipping, that's, you know, that's improper. But they are, if we do the elements, the offense of selling the drugs is this, and the conspiracy may be, like, one tiny little part of this act, but plus the agreement, right? You know, an innocent act that's not even required. So some places come up with the answer, like in a way there wouldn't even need to be overlap, right? Selling the drugs is me offering Farah, you know, yeah, Ryan's got me some good shit. You want it? Yeah, I'll get you a dime bag. Okay, Farah buys the dime. That's done. Our agreement may just be like, you and me deciding, like, I'll get you the drugs and some other act outside of that that has nothing to do with the actual selling, okay? So they, in some jurisdictions, they say, yes, you can be convicted of both. Other jurisdictions say, no, you can't, okay? So you just need to hold both those ideas. What do you guys think I think of the defense for? Yeah, I'm totally against it. This is just so wrong, in my opinion. Especially because, you know, we can have this conspiracy where, like, Umair's there while Ryan and I are talking, and he says, yeah, that would be a good idea, and then he never has anything else to do with it. And Umair might be guilty for our hundreds, for me selling to everybody on that side of the class, right? So who knows? Yes, Ryan.
In New York, if you were found with a forged credit card, and you got stopped by the police, you would get charged with possession of a forged instrument and also for, like, an act of forging an instrument. But then you can only get charged with possession of the forged instrument. They would drop the, like, actually forging the instrument. Is that because they don't want to charge you for two different things, or because they probably can't prove that you actually forged the credit card?
More likely the latter. Like, you know, just because you have a forged instrument doesn't mean you're the one who created it, right?
So the state wouldn't charge you even if they have no proof, they wouldn't just charge you because.
Usually they won't. I mean, there's rules about prosecutors. They don't really want to charge things that they can't prove. At a conspiracy charge, often they can kind of prove it, and we'll get to that in a few minutes about how you can infer agreements, you can infer intent. Like, conspiracy is a big conspiracy to put people in jail, in my opinion. Yes, Tricia. What's New York's rule on this? I believe they merged, but I would have to double check. And it's really easy to avoid the merger, especially if, you know, you're charging like a broader conspiracy. But typically you would not see in New York both a conspiracy to commit an act and a charge of doing the same act. Unless, of course, like, if Ryan and I do this, and they might charge Ryan with conspiracy, and they'd probably just charge me with sale. Because they've got me on the sale, right? Felicia, and then I think it's probably practically time for us to move rooms.
Do you think in jurisdictions where they do allow double dipping, that they do so, like, also to give the police leverage,
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge thing. As you notice in the history, conspiracy used to be very limited. You know, it was only about a tiny little thing. In fact, you know, kind of abusing the justice system. It was kind of about lawyers and judges and so forth conspiring, but it's turned into the kind of biggest game out there with these kind of conspiracies really creating tremendous leverage where somebody's looking at five consecutive terms or they cooperate, rat people out, and it really does help them to persuade, coerce people to, you know, give information about other people. One danger of that is, you know, if your incentives are that great to provide information, if you don't have good information, you may make up bad information. So, I'm about to push stop. And we'll